Welcome to the Rancho Mariota Community Service District. It's a special board meeting for January 18th, 2024. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes. President Mabee.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Today is the 19th.
It is the 19th.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And it's not 23 on the thing.
No.
24. Thank you.
Mine says 19th, but it also says 2023.
Okay.
I got half right.
So I didn't get any of it right.
Mine says 18-2023, but yeah, corrected. It's January 19th, 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm present.
Okay. Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler, not here. Director Pohl, also not here. Director Booth.
Present.
I make a motion to adopt the calendar.
Second. You mean the agenda?
The agenda?
Yeah. Jesus.
Okay, and it was seconded?
Yes.
I seconded it.
Okay. Do we vote on that? Do we have
yes.
a vote? Okay. Director Booth?
Aye.
Okay, and Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Okay. That's the other one. Okay, and okay.
We're on to item number three, which is consider approval of replacing indirect cost rate number one with indirect cost rate number two for open prior fiscal years. I'll turn it over to you, Mimi, but just for some edification, we had staff make the presentation. We understood it, and Director Booth was the one that thought we had some open years that we could go back, make the adjustments. Again, it's all on paper, right? But have those fiscal years that are open actually cleaned up to where we know where everything's at. There are probably some potential repercussions. How significant, I don't know. But with all that said, staff gave an update in closed session. That's where Director Janko was kind of brought up to speed. So with that, the board asked for this special meeting, so I'll turn it over to you.
If I may, just one slight correction. I think I inquired about applying the recalculation to this fiscal year, which would require board action. I think it was a staff recommendation to actually go back beyond the current fiscal year and look at all the prior open years where we've not yet completed audits.
Yes, that's true.
Perfect. Thank you. I stand correct. Actually, I'm sitting.
And then it was General Counsel Ramirez's
Ramos.
Identification of it as a budget issue, which would mean that it would require board approval to change the budgets, even though they're
right.
from quite a long time ago. But because they're still open, that presents the opportunity for us to go back. So staff made this recommendation because of its confidence in the IRC number two, which is
okay.
the revised indirect cost rate, which I think is a more faithful representation of the resources utilized by the different units, the administrative unit resources utilized by the other direct enterprise activities. And so this is a unique opportunity, so we are recommending replacement of the indirect cost rate number one with indirect cost rate number two for those prior fiscal years that are all still open, inclusive of the current fiscal year.
So we're looking.
And I do have Mark on the phone if you have any questions about the methodology or any other questions about the process.
Hi,
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
So we're looking at fiscal year 20 to 21, fiscal year 21-22, fiscal year 23-24.
And 22-23.
Thank you.
So there's four of them. Three that are in the past, at least. They're not closed, but they're in the past. And then the year that we're in the middle of, 23-24.
So on the ones that are in audit, we would get these numbers over to the auditors next week or so to provide what corrections we have for them to include in their audits.
Right, into the final financials.
Okay.
Yep.
I had a question at the last board meeting, and Mark kind of answered it. I don't know if it modifies what we're doing today, but I know for the next fiscal cycle, we really have to look at that indirect cost for solid waste, because we're putting more staff time, and that a state statute is going to require more. So I don't know if it's through an indirect cost or we've got to associate an FT, however that works. We can get through this year, but I think that is going to be at least for the next fiscal cycle. So I guess what I'm saying is we'll get the audits done this fiscal year. As we get ready to go into the next fiscal cycle, using the same methodology for indirect cost rate number 2 is what we're going to apply to everything all over again for the 24-25 cycle.
Well, if you would like additional expense directed towards solid waste for 24-25, we'd probably make an adjustment to that to be able to reflect the additional staff time for ensuring that SB 1383 is handled properly.
Yes. Yeah. And again, we
so
catch that in the budget cycle, right?
In budget year 24-25,
I think we're fine for the rest of this fiscal cycle.
Yep.
So it's, I'm probably confusing two separate, today's budget, 3 budget years prior. We'll address in the next month or so the upcoming. Okay, I'm good on my questions. I'll turn it over.
So looking at the 3 years prior to the current fiscal year, and I remember looking at the numbers the other night at our board meeting, the recalculations will significantly reduce the indirect cost allocation to security and essentially shift that reduced burden over to the other funds. Okay. And I guess my real question in terms of looking at the prior years is, so the board has subsidized security for a number of years through the transfer of property tax money. So we kind of charged them on one side and then credited them with additional revenue on the other. If we apply, let me just start with security. If we apply the recalculation to security in those prior years, does it alter the net position of security in any or all of those fiscal years?
Yes. Mark, I don't know if you have a comment on that, but my sense is that it will alter the fund condition. And generally, and I think we talked about this a little bit at the Finance Committee meeting, you have your beginning balances and then the effects of net activity. And that's either going to increase or decrease the fund balance. And then you have, you know, whatever it is. And security in particular has been operating at about a $350,000 deficit since about 2019 to 2020. And so this will help it. And again, these budgets aren't closed. And so we could reallocate that property tax. But I think eventually
So boiling this down a little bit, will the recalculation reduce the expense for security sufficient that it would eliminate the need for any transfer from property tax, or simply reduce the amount of property tax that needed to be transferred in each of those prior 3 years?
It would reduce it, and said that there was two factors at play, which is one, admin overhead, the allocation to security was potentially a little, I guess a little on the heavy side, possibly. And then to compensate for that, then there was an additional allocation of the property tax revenues. So I think you're absolutely correct. We would look at it. I mean, ultimately, you want to get that unrestricted fund balance back in the black. And at the end of the 2020 audit, it was $394,000 in the red for security. So I think the ultimate goal would be get it back to break to zero or a little bit in the black, and then operate at zero or a little bit positive every year, and then using that then you would use a lot less property tax revenue, right?
Right.
In the example that we put out in front of the board the other night, it looks like recalibrating that rate would mean about a $300,000 less overhead expense allocation to security every year. So that would be significantly less in property tax that you would have to allocate over there to keep that break even on an annual basis.
So my thinking, Mark, is that if it doesn't eliminate the need for property tax transfer and actually put that fund in a net positive position, all we end up doing is reducing the deficit, if you will, in those prior years on paper for security, increasing the deficit in the other funds, which would then require us to reallocate property tax money that we used for security to cover the increased liability in the other funds. And it seems like ultimately it's a zero-sum game with no real advantage to me. I mean, I know that part of the philosophy is it more accurately represents what today we believe to those overhead costs to be. That being said, the board in, 2019, approved that higher allocation rate. I don't know if there was specific discussion or rationale, if there was a champion. I've heard some rumors that it was Mr. Hennig who really pushed hard for the higher allocations. Got to put on my aluminum foil hat to avoid all the conspiracy theories that are being thrown at me in that regard. But I really question whether there's any tangible value to making those adjustments if all we're doing is moving the transfer, the allocation doesn't change the expenses for security. If it doesn't put security in a positive net position, then all we're doing is increasing the negative position of the other funds and reducing the negative position of security. I'd rather just start fresh this fiscal year, get it right, and do so moving forward, unless you can convince me there's some other tangible result.
Do you want to go first, Mark? Or you want me to?
I completely see where you're coming from on that, and it makes a lot of sense. The one nuance that I would put out there for consideration would be that each of the funds is supposed to operate like its own business. And if you've got one of them that's maybe taking on a little bit more of the overhead burden than is representative of the amount of overhead burden that it's utilizing year over year, and then that one specific fund or business starts to accumulate a large deficit, at some point it's going to have to be unwound, or there's going to be significant cuts or reduction in services to help with those cuts, which I think is what the the board is facing or has been facing the last couple of years. So I would just put out there for consideration that having, I know it seems like an on paper reclassification with no, you know, no net total change, but I do think, or I would put out there for consideration that, you know, there are real world consequences and decisions being made based on the financial status of each one of these funds taken individually.
Well, and there's also, I mean, there is, I recognize there's a public relations aspect to this, in as much as members of the community have questioned that higher rate of allocation, at least for a couple of years, maybe longer than that. This has the feeling of setting it right retroactively. I don't want to dig too deep into why the board approved that higher allocation, you know, and who the champion of that may have been. The materials that I have seen presented at the time, as we discussed previously, don't really provide much in the way of a rationale for the shifting of the allocation at that time. So, I mean, I think that there is that value, and I hear what I was hoping to hear, Mark, was that in aggregate we'd end up with a positive net balance for security, which is of the various programs the most difficult for us to increase revenue for. The others aren't easy, but it is the most difficult. But
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, but if that's not the case, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
So I was going to just say, unfortunately, it's hard to tell. I mean, I can tell you it's going to get a lot closer. It won't be, you know, $394,000 in the hole. It'll be a lot closer to break even. And I'm trying to flip through my packet here and see, because I think year to date of this current year, security is in the black on its operations by $70,000. So a lot has changed in security, I believe, over the last 3-4 years as far as, you know, letting some positions, I don't want to say cutting positions, but not filling vacant positions, and I think cutting up some patrol and doing some other cost-saving measures. So year-to-date this year, security without the overhead allocation is operating in the black. So I, you know, and I wish that we had solid financial numbers from, you know, 2022-23 or, you know, 21-22 that I could lend some additional information. I mean, I would say that moving $300,000 of expense or allocating $300,000 less overhead expense, you know, so instead of 50% of the budget, the operating budget, it's, you know, maybe makes up 22% of other operating expenses or 20% of other operating expenses. I mean, it's going to have a positive impact. But then on the flip side, you're absolutely correct. There was definitely a process of allocating more of just the general property tax revenue over to the security fund to, I mean, I don't know because I wasn't there making the decisions, but I mean, it definitely has the effect of offsetting the overhead being allocated over there.
So wouldn't we have to, if we're going to make this change, wouldn't we also have to then reallocate the property tax transfers to the other funds to offset some of that increased liability?
That would be something to consider. You know, I think an approach could be to get the security fund back in the black, so back to zero, or maybe, you know, $50,000 in the black, and then, or some nominal amount back in the black, and then going forward have this allocation be implemented, right? So, or a little bit more detailed allocation of the overhead. So like for instance, 22-23, I mean, and this is an excellent example, and I get your point when you mentioned potentially starting in 22-23, because this is the year that I think, or I'm sorry, 23-24, this is the year that the property tax allocation was set at $50,000, but there's still in the budget $637,000 of overhead being allocated to security. So the 23-24 year would be the year that I think it would be if we didn't change the allocation in 23-24, that's the year that security would take a pretty big hit.
And if I could weigh in, as far as the tangible result question, I think one thing for me that's a tangible result is the integrity of the financials. And I don't think that's a PR thing. I think that's credibility for us, and I view that as a very important result. And then also, hopefully, and again, we don't know the results of 21-22 and 22-23 from a revenue and expense perspective yet, because those accounts or those years aren't closed. But a positive security fund, as opposed to one that's in the red, would then provide resources that could be used, you know, for example, to repair the safety center, right? Right now they have nothing. They have less than nothing because they have a negative. And so redistributing the costs helps to give them a little kitty of reserves for their needs, which all of our reserves should be in the black, because otherwise it's fake, because really you're going to owe it from one of the reserves. And so from my perspective, it's actually cleaning up the financials so that the costs are appropriately aligned with the different units, so that then you have information that you can really share with everyone and have your credibility be bolstered.
Director Janko.
I have several questions. So I've got the sheet that you gave us at the board meeting that shows the difference in allocations from year to year and from number one to number two. The reason why we don't know if we're going to go into the black or red is because we don't know the fund balance in 2021. Because we've got all the other numbers. We've got change in net positions for both options.
My response to that is that we don't have finalized data for 21-20, finalized and audited data for 21-22 and 22-23 in terms of being able to see the whole picture of where that fund would land, because it'll be a function of, okay, well, what was the beginning fund balance at the start of 21-22, which that can be known, you know, if we put this figure in. But then what we don't know is, well, what were the revenues and what were the expenses for those years? We've focused on 2021 and then also 23-24, and there's that period of time in between that is not yet.
All these numbers on this sheet are
projected off of
guesses?
They were projected off of the adopted budgets for those periods.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know actuals.
Yeah, it's not actuals.
It's just budgeted, because those years, that's sort of the time frame from pretty much like 2019 or 2020 until 23, when they stopped doing accurate cost coding of expenses. So we have to go back and kind of clean that all up.
My second question, and I apologize if I'm going back in time, because I did miss the
finance and the special.
The special meeting where you went through the methodology of this change. And as I to answer Director Booth's question about what happened when we chose this allocation, to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe anybody was pushing anything. We hired an outside entity and paid them as a consultant, and they came back with the numbers, and we looked at the numbers, and I wasn't going to argue with the consultant about whether the, you know, get into the weeds on it. So we just, as I recall, we just said, yeah, we paid you to do this. You're the experts. These numbers must be good. My question, going back to what I missed and all that, is I don't want to get into the methodology, but these are big changes. We're going from 600 and some odd thousand allocation with option number one to less than half that, 280,000, well, 32 to 14%. And as I understand it, allocation that we're using now was based strictly on person hours or number of bodies or something. So without getting into the minutiae of the methodology, why is this allocation to security so much less than its weight in person hours or number of people in that department?
And I can take a stab at a short answer on that. Indirect cost rate methodologies are generally done off of some cost driver. And the easiest one to do is just the number of people. And then you do a straight calculation. There's 40 people. This place has 20. That's 50% cost rate. You get 50% of the administrative costs. However, that's a crude instrument because there are several different areas in admin, like human resources is one, payroll and all that, and so that FTE applies very nicely to that one. But then you also have purchase orders and requisitions and check payments, and also plant and equipment and maintaining all that. And so those elements can take up a lot or a little bit of time, and for security, they don't take up very much, and water takes up a huge amount because we have tons of chemical invoices, tons of lab invoices, all these things related to the water, whereas security is more like the only thing they buy really is uniforms, you know, and maybe ammunition and cameras. But it's not very frequent. It's not as much work on the part of administrative staff. And then they don't have very much property. They have vehicles. And they have a dilapidated old shed, but they don't really have the complexity of operations that water has. And another measure for determining, well, how complex are they, is the size of their overall budget. And the size of the budget is a function of both the personnel costs and the operating costs. And that's where water kind of blows everybody out of the water, so to speak. But
administering CIP would be a big part of that, where security has no CIP to speak of, and water and wastewater, almost all of our capital improvement projects are in those two departments, correct?
Yeah, they did have a proposed allocation in 23-24 for CIP, which was a replacement of the trailer, and staff recommended against it just because of right. The uncertainty about the organization's finances. So,
to Director Janko's point, I don't find, and when we asked this question the other night, I believe staff responded that they didn't find anything specifically that tied the allocation to FTE. The numbers seem to suggest that, and I think that Mimi in the meeting said it's kind of inferred, but that's part of the problem is, and you know, I think that we would do a much better job this time through documenting that methodology of how the allocation was derived. I think it's implied or inferred, from 2019 or whenever it was done, but I don't find anything that clearly states it's based on FTE, unless you found something since we spoke last.
No. And this document that you're seeing there is heavily distilled. It's from a workbook that probably has about, I don't know, 9 or 10 worksheets. And I asked Mark not to present those because you can get lost in the weeds on that, but we can totally make them available to you. And I think another
as far as the methodology of how these
how the ICR number 2 was calculated. And I think one thing you could do, you know, if there's some hesitation about doing all the years, is you could do 2021, so we can just close that one out, and then you could further consider the impacts on 21, 22, and 22, 23. Over the next year, really, or however long it takes the 21-22 audit to get finalized, which, you know, could be.
I would think if we changed it for 2021, we have to use that going forward. There's no going back.
Yeah, I agree.
So okay, I like your explanation about where these numbers came from. So instead of focusing on security now, let's go over to water, which was the big change. It was went from a 750,000 in this last year. 750,000 was what we would have done, and now we're going to allocate over $1 million. In indirect cost to it. Let's look at it from that side, leaving security out. If we make this change, or when we make this change, we don't have enough money in water. And we did a study, an operations study, and that we based our last fee increase on, or yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now if we go back and change these last 3 years, we're way out of whack, because our fee increases, the ones we asked for that we didn't get plus the one we did get last year, are significantly less than what we should have been asking for and what we need. How do you see that affecting this going forward? Our budget is just going to be way, we're not taking in near enough money to pay our bills in water and wastewater.
And so one response that I have to that is that one of the things we also found from the period of time starting in January of 2020 and until roughly July of this year is that the automated payroll system that was utilized had water as the big umbrella as opposed to, you know, wastewater or something. And as a consequence, water bore a larger percentage of the overall costs of wastewater. So that overstated the costs for water. And when we go back through those years, we're going to be fixing that so that it more accurately reflects what the water cost should have been, which would have been like 50-50 with wastewater, because that's how our positions are supposed to be. So while you will have a understatement of the water cost as a result of the additional administrative cost being assigned to it, you'll have a corresponding correction to remove an overstatement. And I can't do the math in my head on that, but I think it'll kind of, I don't know what our obligations are for in the past to go back and clean that up, but I think we'll be able to see after we do the water corrections and the indirect cost rate, you know, a better sense of where the funds are at.
But we took it off, we took the indirect costs off of security, whether it goes sewer, water, combined sewer and water together, they're going to take, there's going to be a lot more cost there.
That's true.
With no more revenue. And the revenue was based on these, on indirect cost number one calculations. And now we go to this number two. Our revenue has got to be terribly inadequate.
Inadequate, yeah.
To cover our costs. So where does that lead us?
So one of the back of the napkin kind of calculations that we did in, I think, the finance committee was that if we're redistributing a 360K whatever deficit across 2,500 accounts, it's about $12 a month that we would have to charge. And then
just to break even.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
And then you know, whatever else we would want to add for reserve building. So yeah, that would be the hit. You know, that would be where it would hit the pocketbook.
And if we went, the problem I see with going back and changing it for the previous 3 years is we're going to be starting at a lower fund balance in those funds. And not only are costs increasing going forward, but we're going to have to make up that loss to the fund balance to catch up again too, right?
Well, you know, it is an interesting situation because you do have to treat each of these as a separate entity, but they're all in a certain sense commingled, because the only thing that can salvage them is either reserves or your property taxes. And so at some point, security would have to be bailed out, right? Because right now they're 360 or whatever it is in the red. And the only revenues that you have to bail it out are really property taxes. So,
Except the board's position, and I think it's been stated a few times, is that we're just going to provide enough services for the amount of taxes that we take in.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about any kind of current year operational expenses and revenues. I'm talking about the piggy bank of the net deficit for security. And there's no way that'll ever go away through operations, because if we're bare bones on the revenue for security and not hiring, not filling positions, but just trying to make do with what we have, there's never going to be any extra that would go back and make that fund whole. And because all five of them make the entire organization, to have any one of them in the red when we have other money in the bank, I think is sort of a fake picture. And at some point, that is going to have to be made whole. And my thought is, since there's no other, well, there's a little bit of dedicated revenues from security, but not really enough to cover that. So
let me come at it from a different direction.
Okay.
Our costs are down by a couple hundred thousand in security from this last year from the year before, and we did that because we didn't want to spend money that we didn't have. Now, with this new CR number two, we're actually showing being in the black last year. So do we hire another position because we've got the money? It's confusing.
That's where I think it's, I agree it's confusing, because you have two different things. It's like the balance sheet, which shows you the assets and the liabilities, and that's sort of the bucket. That's the piggy bank. And that's in the red by a huge chunk. And then you have the activity of that particular fiscal year. And even if you operated in the black, and even if the indirect cost rate didn't put the whole thing in the black for that year, you're not going to have enough to cover that whole of the negative 360 or whatever.
If we assume that we're starting with a negative fund balance, but we've determined that we don't know where we're at on the fund balance.
Well, we do know 1920, and we know 2021 up till, you know, whatever we do with the indirect cost rate, because 1920 was the last audited fiscal year.
So our using CR number 2, our change in net position is 140 in 2021 and 121.22, and it's minus 70, so my lightning quick mind tells me it's somewhere in the neighborhood of minus 300,000. So if we knew what our fund balance was at the beginning of 2021, was it a positive 300,000 or less?
It was like negative 300, okay. And I feel like, did we include that
in the... It was like 350 or almost 360.
Negative 394.
Negative 394.
So we're continuing, okay. I get it.
So I want to comment on Director Janko's approach from the other funds. That's why I was asking earlier for those, excluding this current fiscal year.
Right.
Where I think we end up having to figure out how we reconcile what would become a hole that we didn't anticipate when we adopted this budget. I think we can address that in the prior years, as I said earlier, by simply shifting the subsidy that we gave to security to those other funds, which came out of property tax and or reserves. And I think we ultimately make it a zero-sum game in the prior 3 years, if we apply this reallocation. It puts us on, you know, a kind of a right sizing, if you will. And then if we apply it to this fiscal year, then you're right, we're not going to have enough money in our rates in sewer, drainage, and water to fund the budget that we adopted with this shift. But We have some options about how we address that, too.
Well, and
I've always thought that, at listening to the arguments of you're charging security too much on administration, and so you've got more money than you think you do, so put another security officer out there because you're overcharged in one place, you've got money. And I always thought to myself, well, even if that's true, which I guess we're finding out that was true now, okay, so we charge security less, but we're charging water and wastewater more. So whether you pay for it over here on security, which people voted against, or you pay for it over here, then your fees have to go up. So one way or the other, yeah, people are going to pay them.
No, I think that's inevitable.
We're short 300 some odd thousand.
But I think we're potentially placing ourselves, Randy, in a position that you weren't in when Measure R and that rate increase were turned down. We will have at least one, maybe a couple of audits completed. We will have taken a look at whether we're properly distributing our overhead. We'll have a better idea of what our true costs are for all of our services, and we'll be in a better position when we either seek additional money for security and or additional money in rates to justify it based upon verifiable numbers that we just didn't have 2 years ago.
So are you in favor of going back to 2021 and making the changes going forward?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent because, again, I don't know that there's any real tangible result. You know, I get the philosophy from the accounting aspect of setting the record straight, but I could also argue, look, the board adopted those allocations, and so we lived by those. If we're going to change those allocations in this fiscal year, then let's live with those moving forward. I'm kind of ambivalent about going back for all 3 years. I mean, I see some nominal value in it.
Ambivalent means he doesn't know.
I looked it up. I looked it up. Thank you. Thank you.
It means what, Randy?
it means you that you know you're up in the air. I had to give Tim.
You had to define that for Tim.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I looked it up.
Tim, I'm iffy on that.
Yeah. Okay, now I understand it. So if we don't make the adjustments in the open audit years, if staff goes back and applies, the CR number 2 to those, right? So we have the numbers. Then if we retrospectively apply what it would have looked like, that still gives the board the information we need moving forward that we were short in these funds. Director Booth is right. We allocated budgets, that's what it was. I guess my point is moving forward is staff can still do just like they've done for us and go, here's what the property tax went to, should have gone, or the rate should have been. Separate for security, right? Now here's where we're deficit over in the water. That gives that true picture that you were talking about, Director Booth. Randy, it's back to the district short money. Right now, we're short in security. Good news is we're going to be short in security very quickly and some other funds. So we're going from a huge deficit in one, spreading it out to others. And so that rate increase in reality for 24-25 is going to be pretty significant in a very specific area, water operations, whether it's on wastewater or water side. Is there a way for us to have the year's audit closed out, staff come back, provide a report to the board applying the CR number 2? And what it would have looked like laying out prior years of what it should have been if we would have had the CR number 2.
So a theoretic application,
right,
instead of a practical,
right,
application.
Then what that does is it gives us the history to go to the community and say, with what we know now, here's how things look, so that we don't have this $12 a month just to break even for this up. So we're subsidizing again this year. Next year, it's $12 plus cost, right? So instead of having that one-time massive, that $12 to get us even, we can show what it should have been, but instead we applied it to the security side. Does that make sense, what I'm saying or asking?
Absolutely makes sense from a communication standpoint.
Right. So I think what Director Booth said, theoretical to the actual application, that gives the board what we need going into the 24-25 fiscal period.
Okay. And so I have just one comment, one question. Question, so then are you saying don't actually apply it, but just show what it would have been if we had, and we can't really run that all the way through until we get through 21-22 mm-hmm. and 22-23 audits.
I understand.
Okay, and then a comment. The current allocation for security at the ICR number 1 level, right, of 600 whatever K, that's based on an original administrative budget that's going to be much higher than what we actually expend, right? Because one of my goals is like do things more cheaply, figure out how to get by. And we did have a history of sort of skyrocketing administrative costs that went from, I think, 18, 19, and 19, 20, it was like almost 47% increase, right? And so it's hit its peak. It's on its way to, you know, a smaller, more stable thing. And that will reduce the amount that every fund gets allocated, right? So that'll, I mean, I think they're going to
reduce the dollar amount.
The dollar amount, yeah.
To all
and
funds.
And I think that, for me, what that symbolizes is that we're almost through the bad times. Like, we're going to come out of the tunnel, and we're going to
get
to
a point. There were bad times? I don't understand.
There were some rocky times here. So you're going to get to a point where, you know, it's more appropriately resourced from the in the administrative unit.
Okay. Yeah. So with everything said, what you need from the board is direction to go with indirect cost number two to this current fiscal year, correct?
No, she's asking to take that all the way back to 2021.
Right, but
we may choose to limit it to just applying it in this fiscal year.
If he's ambivalent.
Well, on the other
hand. I have no ambivalence about applying it to this year.
Correct. Correct.
But, and I kind of like this half measure of actually running the numbers without actually making all the modifications and potentially further delaying audits.
I lean towards, and I came in here thinking that I didn't want to go back and reallocate, but I don't think just running the numbers is going to have the impact of actually running the numbers and having those to show people why when we ask for fee increases what happens. And I'm still iffy or ambivalent on it, but I lean towards, since staff asked and it's their opinion, that we go all the way back to 2021, that's what we do. Okay.
I will support that motion if you make it.
That's my motion.
All right, then I'll second it.
And you understand the motion that was presented?
It's basically to follow the staff recommendation.
Yep.
Are you ready for a vote?
We have a motion, we have a second. I'll wait and see if public wants to comment on it. But I don't know, do we wait 3 minutes for public, or do the public have 3 minutes? I don't remember.
I was ready with three questions, but they've pretty much all been answered, so I'm done.
Okay. Then we don't have any further comment from the public. I think it was very educational on everything that staff brought to us. So with that, I'm not seeing any more conversation from the board. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, please. Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director President Mabee.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes.
Item four, I don't see any public comments.
He's dissing you, correct? Gail, he's just disrespecting you.
I'll edit that out on the tapes. Item five, any comments, suggestions from directors? Not seeing any. Again, thank you to staff. Can I have a second on a motion for adjournment?
Second.
Roll call, Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Okay.
124, thank you.